In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Two old people, two elderly people. At least we assume that Simeon was an old man, but we are told right out that Anna was either 84 years old or she had been a widow for 84 years ever since her husband died after 7 years of marriage. At any rate, these are two elderly people and they are looking forward to something. They have been promised something and they are awaiting the fulfillment of that promise. It's not $1 million, it's not a new home, it's not the opportunity to go live with their son's family or their daughter's family. It's the opportunity to see the Lord's Christ. It's the opportunity to see the long-promised Savior of the world, the one who is the redemption of Jerusalem. It is the opportunity to see the one who is the salvation that God has prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation of God's loving mercy and kindness to the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. They have been waiting eagerly, and at long last, their time of waiting is over. It's 40 days after the birth of Jesus, and Mary and Joseph and Jesus go up to Jerusalem to the temple to present him to the Lord and for Mary's purification. We are told four times in this gospel reading that they performed everything according to the law of the Lord, or a similar phrase. You see, Jesus is the one appointed by God to fulfill all righteousness. Every jot and tittle of the Jewish law, the Hebrew law given to Moses at Sinai, all the ceremonial details, all the aspects of the moral law as are set forth in the Ten Commandments, all the civil law that God had given to Moses, Jesus was the one appointed by God to fulfill each and every aspect of that law down to the last detail. And we see this at the very beginning of his story. We'll see it again on New Year's Eve when we remember how he was circumcised according to God's law on the eighth day. Now it is important, it is critically important that Jesus fulfill the law, because the law's demands hang over all people. For the younger ones among us, the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. That means we should fear and love God so that we respect and honor our parents and other authorities, that we hold them in high esteem, that we obey them, that we never grumble against our parents or mouth off at them behind their backs or anything like that. I did not do that perfectly when I was a child. I'm sure that is not a confession that shocks you, because I would imagine the same is true for each one of you. But by our failure to do that, the law condemns us as a lawbreaker. We have sinned against God. And the sin that we have committed is something that comes naturally to us. No matter how hard we try to be good and holy and righteous, It seems like the devil or our own sinful nature is ever at hand, attempting to trip us up and quite often succeeding. To break even one of God's commandments is to be guilty of them all. And so the law, when it tells us what to do and reveals that we don't do it, condemns each one of us as a lawbreaker, rightly under God's judgment. God's law has to be fulfilled, and Jesus is the one who does it. Happens right here in the gospel reading for today. Now, there were sacrifices appointed by God for the Hebrew people to offer up: the blood of goats and bulls, pigeons, other sacrificial animals, which were a kind of a down payment for sin. But these sacrifices were offered in the expectation that God would provide a Messiah, a Savior, who would be the final perfect sacrifice for the sin of all people. And for that to happen, God had to become a human being. God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, had to become a real human being, just like you and me, yet conceived by the Holy Spirit so he could be without sin. Because otherwise he would have been a sinner just like you and just like me, and he would have himself needed a Savior. So that is why the virginal conception and birth of Jesus are so important. Because without those, he could not have been your Savior from sin. He would have been just another run-of-the-mill sinner like you and me. Jesus is the final sacrifice. There is no other. That's what his death on the cross was all about, where he took upon himself all the sins of all the world. Now, if I were to ask everyone to spend the next half hour making a list of all the sins you could think of and write them down, that would be just a smidgen. It would be just a smattering of sin. It would not be the whole thing. And even if you spent the next year doing that, trying to record every sin you could remember, you would still miss quite a few. But for all those sins you wrote down, and even for all those sins that you can't possibly remember, Jesus has taken them away by his death on the cross. You are forgiven for Jesus' sake. He went to the cross for you. He is God's gift of love for you. You are baptized into Christ. And as today's epistle says, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave to sin, but a son. Even if you're a female, you're a son who gets the inheritance of Jesus' righteousness, forgiveness, and salvation. And if you are a son, then you are an heir of God. Okay, Jesus is the one who fulfills the law. Jesus is the one who is brought into the temple to fulfill the law. But Jesus is also the new temple. The temple was a meeting place between God and sinful human beings. Yet by taking upon himself our human flesh and blood, Jesus, God in the flesh, becomes the new meeting place. There is no need of any more temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is that temple. He says so in the gospel according to St. John. He speaks of the temple of his body when he says to his enemies, "If you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again." To meet Jesus is to meet God. To be present where the body and blood of Christ are, is to be present in the new temple. And Christ is here, dear friends. He is here for you. He is here for you. In the very gospel that I'm preaching to you right now, you need not go searching all around the world to find God. You definitely don't need to go looking into your heart to find God, because your heart is deceitful above all things, according to the diagnosis of Scripture. Look outside yourself, as Simeon did, as Anna did. Look to this newborn babe of Bethlehem who became man for you, who fulfilled all of God's law down to the last detail for you, and then who took on the cross the punishment you and I deserve for our failure to keep God's law. It is this Jesus who is the salvation of Israel. And gathered here today around the proclamation of his word and the sacrament of his body and blood, we are worshipers in the new temple. We are worshipers of the one who became man and went through all the stages of human existence for you. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he came into the Spirit, into the temple, and saw the parents of Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, in the words of the Nunc Dimittis, "Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation in this little bundle of infant flesh. This salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. It's not something you keep secret. The angels appeared in the sky above Bethlehem, singing, 'Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' A light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish people, and for the glory of your people Israel." Now, for Simeon to be able to take up Jesus in his arms, it needed to be a real baby, a real human being. The incarnation was essential. And for Jesus to be present for you in his body and blood and the sacrament, again, the incarnation is essential. And his word of power, the word of God, which he as the Son of God in flesh speaks, comes true for you. You can count on it. That you eat his body for the forgiveness of sins in the bread of the sacrament. That you drink his blood for the remission of all of your sins in the wine of the sacrament. Christ is present for you, just as he was there for Simeon. And you follow Simeon's example as you take Jesus' body and blood into your mouth. And you know what? You follow Simeon's example as you sing after receiving communion, the Nunc Dimittis. "Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace." Simeon was speaking of dying. "I can now die in peace, Lord, because my eyes have seen your salvation." We're singing, we can depart from this place in peace to enter our week and to enter upon all the various callings that we will have to fulfill in that week. Because we have feasted upon Christ's body and blood. But you know what? If you were to die today, and I'm not going to say, give your heart to Jesus now. Hey, Jesus has already given himself to you for you. You don't need to worry about giving your heart to Jesus. Besides, what would he do with such a sinful thing anyway? Ugh, disgusting. No, if you were to die today, 5 minutes after receiving the sacrament, the words you sing, the words of Simeon hold true. You can depart in peace because you have beheld, you have partaken of the salvation of Israel in Jesus' body and blood. Whenever I can, when someone is near death, the family and I sing the Nunc Dimittis. The Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word of peace in the gospel. It's been said that we should approach the sacrament as if we were going to our death. It's also been said that we should approach death as if we were going to the sacrament. Because the sacrament enables us to depart from this church in the peace of God, and the sacrament enables you and me to depart this life in peace. Because with sin forgiven, with sin taken away, God no longer has any accusation to file against you. That accusation fell upon Christ, and he was judged guilty in your place, and you are declared righteous and holy for the sake of Jesus. So, this Sunday is an occasion for joy. All Sundays are, because Christ has died, Christ is risen. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. We are forgiven in him. We have eternal life and an eternal hope in him. But this Sunday in particular, an occasion of joy for an elderly man and an elderly woman who saw the very fulfillment of God's ancient promise in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And that same promise is fulfilled for you by Christ. And even this very day, it is fulfilled for you. As you take Jesus' body into your mouth, and as you drink his blood, and as you hear those words, may these, the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, keep and preserve you in the true faith and in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. And you will echo those words when you sing, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. Thanks be to God for the fulfillment of his word. Thanks be to God for the gift of his Son. Thanks be to God for the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus brings to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.